pack today.
Welcome to America Tonight with me, Kay Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. My favorite little cranny is Washington, D.C., and we have the best in the business with us, Victoria Jones from Talk Radio News. Victoria, how do you like that introduction?
Oh, terrific.
So, on the Hill today, it was about Benghazi, and this time several of the people who actually worked, well, one who took over for Ambassador Stevens and two others as well, talking about the State Department and reviewing the attack. What do you think, first of all, what came out of that hearing? What do you think going forward this will mean? Anything or nah?
Well, I'm not sure anything new came out of the hearing. There was a lot of emotion in the hearing, so that made it exciting for people watching. I'm not sure that there was anything that was terribly new that came out of the hearing. I mean, and some of the people who were at the hearing had already testified to the Accountability Review Board more than once. So, I mean, these are people who were saying they've been suppressed, but actually haven't been suppressed. But, you know, there are some problems for the White House with the talking points. There are some questions about the timeline. But in a hearing like this, which is purely partisan, where you only have witnesses who are from one side really being questioned pretty much by one side, because they've been brought on by one side, the title of the hearing was showed that it was designed to elicit a particular set of answers, and the Democrats were shut out of the process, and there were no witnesses there either from the other side or even Thomas Pickering or Admiral Mullen, who originally had said that they didn't think they wanted to testify but have said that they would like to testify because they feel that their Accountability Review Board report is being completely misrepresented.
Wow. So the other thing is that one of the mothers of one of the guys who was killed said, well, you know, I want to know who gets the blame for this and what about Hillary Clinton? But even Eric Nordstrom, who was the regional security officer in Libya at the time of the attack, said that requests for that increased security never made it to Hillary Clinton's desk. So, you know, I guess is it an out to get Hillary Clinton kind of thing on the other side?
Well, I think it certainly is, if we just talk pure politics here, for many Republicans it's an out to get Hillary Clinton. Look, she's got an approval rating in the high 60s. She is very popular for 2016. It's thought she's going to run. What better way to derail her? Leave the road open.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Syria. What's the latest there as far as Israel's concerned?
Well, it's very interesting because the news we've got tonight, coming on the heels of news yesterday, Wall Street Journal's reporting that Israel has warned the United States that there is a Russian deal imminent to sell advanced ground-to-air missile systems to Syria. And these are weapons that would really help the regime to sort of make it harder for people to intervene in the civil war, because these are the kind of weapons that could intercept both manned aircraft and guided missiles. Now, the U.S. Says that they're analyzing the information, but they won't comment on whether they think this sale of S-300 missile batteries is near. But they are very, very powerful missile batteries, very powerful indeed. Now, this is coming on the heels of the announcement yesterday that Secretary of State John Kerry met with Putin in Russia, President Putin, also the foreign minister, and they said they would stage an international conference this month aimed at ending the civil war. So you've got sort of two things that don't fit together.
Yeah, no kidding. Definitely don't fit. And then the last thing is just more of the South Korean president, but a female vowing that President Park vowing that there's going to be some decisive response to the provocation from Pyongyang, talking about nuclear armament and whatnot. Do you think she's well received by the Washington folks in this visit?
Yes, yeah, she's been very well received in Washington. She's gone down extremely well.
Yeah, I think it's been interesting to listen to her. I'd only seen quotes. I'd never actually heard her, and she's well spoken. Her English is, just as a quick aside, is pretty good.
Yeah, it is, and she's gone down very well in the United States, and I think they really feel that like they've got a strong ally in South Korea.
Yeah. All right, Victoria Jones, thanks so much. You have a fabulous evening.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Coming up in our next segment here on America Tonight, Andrew Sabo, our favorite Brit, joins us to peel back the onion with more on Benghazi, a different point of view than Victoria's in looking at those words, "we're under attack." The doomed U.S. envoy, and of course the ambassador, his last words saying that, what did that mean and what did that signal? Certainly that it wasn't a protest over a movie about the Prophet Muhammad. And where do we go from here with Benghazi, and what can it ultimately mean as far as the bigger picture? Also, Jodi Arias, finally, it seems like forever on Court TV, she's held them hostage, but she's convicted of first-degree murder. She says that she doesn't want to spend her life in prison for the murder of her boyfriend. A lot of people feel like justice was served here, and I'll tell you, this trial seemed to go on and on and on, and maybe it was because of the massive amount of publicity. It was months and months of crazy drama in the courtroom. Some people were saying it was a modern-day sex lies and videotape. So an Arizona jury found her guilty of the murder of the ex-boyfriend, Travis Alexander, his name was. They'll return to court on Thursday for the aggravation phase, that's what they call it, of the trial. And that's important because then they determine the fate of whether or not Arias will end up getting the death penalty or serve life in prison. Right now, at this point, it seems as though in looking at this and just a little poll of legal experts, that probably she doesn't get the death penalty, that probably she gets life in prison. But it's interesting because now she's on suicide protocol is what they call it, and it was 15 hours of deliberation for this jury too. And man, I don't see how anyone could have any sympathy for her. She was so stoic in court. I mean, her eyes, just giant bug eyes, looking crazy blankly into space, welled up a little bit with tears when they read the verdict. But boy, this has been a long, long time, and the family of Travis Alexander couldn't contain their excitement in the courtroom because it was 5 years, they say, that they waited for the verdict, and they finally got the verdict that they wanted. But as I said, it was a very crazy, crazy case that played out, especially on court TV. I think it was just so scintillating they couldn't help it. Each and every argument they went through this, and it was, man, it was, she was, to me, sorry, she was just nuts from the very beginning, and the verdict is a just one. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some other things that have happened in our legal system lately, plus some odds and ends. But Sabo's next with Peel Back the Onion here on America Tonight. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis.
basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
A lot on America Tonight, you know, since it really happened in September. And it was a big day on the Hill, without doubt. Three whistleblowers, as they've been called now, government whistleblowers, were there and at times really choked back tears. I was watching it. They were holding back, especially the former deputy chief of mission, Greg Hicks, who said to the Oversight and Government Reform Committee guys that the film was unrelated, meaning the Prophet Muhammad film that was on YouTube was unrelated to the attack. This is one of the bones of contention. He said the comments frustrated the Libyans, causing them to block for 17 days the FBI from entering the country to investigate the attack. He said he was stunned, his jaw dropped, and he was embarrassed as well when he listened to what happened on the shows 5 days later, on the Sunday shows, the political shows, when the UN Ambassador Susan Rice had the remarks about blaming the attack on the anti-Islam film. And he said he was shocked and offended. It offended the Libyan government, as I said. And he said he was embarrassed. He could not believe it. He said it was like a bombshell going off. In the wings, Peel Back the Onion, man, our new feature, Andrew Szabo is with us. We're breaking it down. Andrew, how are you?
Excellent, Dave.
You heard what I just had to say about Greg Hicks and what he talked about, starting with the fact that he was so upset about Susan Rice's comments and that her comments actually stopped the FBI from being able to get into the country for 17 whole days. Imagine how much of that evidence was damaged because we couldn't even get to it.
Indeed, and it actually contaminated it was essentially a crime scene. You know, when you have a murder,
yeah,
and that's what happened here, we sometimes forget that. This was a terrorist attack where four Americans were murdered, and an embassy is considered to be sovereign soil. That is an attack on America, okay? That's no less an attack than the attack that we saw in 9/11 back in 2001, or the attack in Boston. That is sovereign American soil when you attack an embassy. And in fact, those were apparently. I agree with you, Kate, with some of the comments. I heard that too and saw that. One of the things that really kind of got me choked up a little bit, to be quite honest, is when Hicks related the last comments that the ambassador, probably his last words before he was murdered, that saying, "We are under attack." Nothing about a spontaneous demonstration. Nothing like, "We are under attack." And they already knew that they were going to be under attack. And from the other evidence that was shared by one of the other members, is that they knew they were under attack. And they were destroying hard drives, shredding documents, putting several people into a safe house, 55, because a lot of people there, I mean, 55 members, embassy employees in Tripoli is a large embassy. And you don't do that if it's simply a little spontaneous demonstration outside your embassy. They knew they were under attack. They knew it was an assault, and they took the appropriate action: smashing hard drives, loading weapons into armored vehicles, or another thing. So the last words of Ambassador Stevens: "We are under attack." So let's peel back the onion here, because what was said. And one of the excuses given of why, as you correctly said, Kate, why did Ambassador Rice talk on five separate shows?
Right.
That this was a spontaneous demonstration provoked by an anti-Muslim video. Or one could say, well, it's incompetence. But, part of the excuse was, well, we were working with the best available intelligence. I'm sorry, but what's the best available intelligence of somebody who's on the ground saying you're under attack?
Yeah, I don't buy that either. I mean, you said it correctly there, where Hicks says that's the last words he heard. That has nothing to do with protest. That has nothing to do with anything as far as the Prophet Muhammad YouTube thing. It had no correlation to it. So as you were saying, in peeling back the onion, do you think that the State Department realizes, I think they thought that this was just going to go away, that it was horrific, and of course it's sad, and of course they think it's sad that Stevens was killed, but it was a lot of missteps, and they didn't want to say that it had any correlation. This is what I think. They didn't want to say that it had any correlation to the anniversary of September 11th, and they didn't want to talk about Islamic terrorism. What do you think?
Well, one has to also remember, 5 days before, you had the Democratic National Convention.
Yeah.
And the president stood up and said, Al-Qaeda is gone. The leader of Al-Qaeda is Osama bin Laden is dead. So he basically declared to the nation, and of course George Bush was criticized for this, for saying this too prematurely, mission accomplished. Essentially, he was saying the same thing, mission accomplished. And as George Bush, that bit him in the backside, that the mission wasn't yet accomplished. And they didn't want the same thing to happen. Well, I mean, essentially, they were doing the same thing. So all the 5 days later, anniversary of 9/11, all of a sudden, there's another terrorist attack. Now, there's an interesting word that has entered the dialogue in politics. And we didn't hear this 4 or 5 years ago, but it's about the word narrative, controlling the narrative.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It's really, let's peel back the onion on that. I believe that means, well, let's control the narrative. Let's just put a spin on it to prevent, and it's not about truth.
Right.
We're not saying, let's get to the bottom of it. No, let's control the narrative for whatever ends one has. It's not about getting to the truth. It's controlling the conversation, controlling the message in a way that is politically advantageous. I think it's a very dangerous place we're moving into, because that is one of the first elements of a totalitarian society, is you're controlling the message,
right,
and you use the media to
propagate
propagate the message, essentially propagating propaganda. and now the people are in the dark. They go with what's been told to them.
Yeah, it's interesting. Along those same lines, you and I were talking off the air, and what did you find when you were looking at that websites that, you know, weren't Fox News or whatnot? What did you find mostly in the websites that you saw, particularly like Huffington Post? How many stories?
Well, that was an interesting thing. I mean, talking about controlling the narrative is Huffington Post. This was about 3 or 4 days ago, right before the hearing, and I put in, you know, Benghazi. And the only thing, there was no stories about Benghazi and what happened. It was, the story is about, well, it's the Republicans are making a fuss about Benghazi. You know, they're deflecting it from what the real story is, and you're trying to make a story about, is that this is all a political, this is just a political maneuver, as opposed to really finding out the truth, which is, I mean, to me, that's the responsibility of journalists, is to, let's get to the truth. Let's report on what happened. Let's report on the truth. And again, this is about narrative. Well, the narrative of Huffington Post is this story, Benghazi, is all about Republicans attacking the question is, when did Nixon know about the burglary and what did he do about it, right? Well,
right.
The question is, when did Obama know that this was actually a terrorist attack? When did Clinton know this was a terrorist attack? Now, of course, you have to remember, and for your listeners, and maybe not everybody knows this, but the embassies come under the jurisdiction of the State Department. They report to that. So how can she not know what's going on in a... Yeah, they were talking a major embassy here, about 60 people or more, and they knew that there was already intelligence beforehand that things were getting hot in Tripoli. And controlling the narrative in that way is, I think, again, a very dangerous dangerous thing. Now, the point being is, again, we're talking about controlling the narrative, a very dangerous expression.
Right, the talking points. The talking points, which is what so many people were upset with, and the great thing is that there were too many people in this country that were not going to let this slip away without a lot of explanations. That's why there have been all of these hearings, and this was just the culmination of them with the so-called three whistleblowers. Andrew, as always, peel back the onion, very revealing. People are starting to think that way. Really think about peeling back the onion, folks. And we'll talk to Andrew Szabo again. He's the irresistible marketing chef, by the way. This is how he knows all this stuff, because he's always peeling down the onions in lots of different directions. And he'll be back again next week. Andrew, thanks so much.
Thanks, Kate. Delight to be on.
Move over organic. The Pureganic Companion ebook and cookbook sets a new standard for purity in our diet with a 100% toxin-free lifestyle. It's time for an American renaissance in health and quality of life. This book is loaded with simple methods to holistically eliminate disease, original recipes, a 30-day diet plan, and much more. Purchase now at PureGanicCompanion.com. The Pureganic Companion, the preventative maintenance manual for the human body.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free. A 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply. Be in control. Be self-sufficient and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent. We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Whoa, you know, you know, you know, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, 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 when it came to winning blue ribbon. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby. Cause baby, won't you look
at me? All right, you listen to that conversation with Andrew there. Talking about the Libyan ambassador and saying the fact that we're under attack and now it's just the latest chapter in... They think this, and we're saying this, and who's zooming who on Benghazi. I'm not so sure anything comes of this in the aftermath, unfortunately. You know, it's just one of these, it's one of these cases, and it's like we were discussing there of, can we not, does everything have to always constantly be whitewashed? Can't there just be the truth bomb? How about the truth bomb? Whoops. You know, we panicked. Hey. We didn't want to, we love the ambassador. We, of course, they don't, we don't want to leave him exposed. The paperwork got lost in the shuffle. Even though they requested twice to have more backup because they were worried about something happening. And yeah, it was Islamic terrorism. It marked another anniversary of September 11th, sadly, blah, blah, blah. But no, we can't do that. Instead, it's who's going to fall on the sword, who jumped the gun, who decided to come up with their own narrative. and the dramatic narrative recounted by Greg Hicks. It was a six-hour hearing on the Hill. It was a reflection of the knowledge of a high-level insider, because he stepped into the shoes of Stevens, who was in Libya that night and was deeply involved in trying to react to what was going on, as he knew that he was stranded. He knew, obviously, that they were stranded there when he had the last phone call. And it's too bad. You could tell that he was choked up. And you could tell that all three had a tough time in some circumstances when they got to a point in their testimony that they had a hard time talking about this. So, you know, he was a guy who was jostled around. He loved his career. And because of this incident, it's really taken a dramatic turn in his own life. You know, he missed the initial call from the ambassador, then reached him by cell phone. Then the attack was unfolding in all those phases. I mean, they knew what they were doing. It was an inside job. But the 17 days in between where the FBI couldn't get in, who knows what they would have found out in between then. So what's the explanation for this? Bottom line, how does this go down in history? The Oversight Committee continued to go after the remarks of the ambassador, the UN ambassador, Susan Rice, after the, you know, 5 days after the attack, making them saying that she insisted the result was because of a spontaneous demonstration over an anti-Islam film that turned violent, which we know was not in the end what it was. So was Rice a shield for the administration during this re-election campaign stuff so that wouldn't become a big story and blow up, you know, even bigger? You think of the date again, you know, or especially when you're trying to use the thwarting terrorism, getting Osama bin Laden, all that kind of stuff, you know, or the talking points, which she just simply handed the talking points and she relied on the best information at the time. I mean, is it that simple? Hey, here's the talking points, here's what we know, boom, and she just goes with it. Somebody that we had on this show several times, Congressman Patrick McHenry from North Carolina, asked if there was any evidence early on that the attack was a protest, and Hicks said, no, I'm confident that the ambassador would have reported a protest immediately if there was one outside of the compound. Of course, he would have done that, so that it had nothing to do with that YouTube video. So we'll say it again and again and again, and I think when he used the words his jaw dropped, and he was stunned and embarrassed when she said the attack was a response to the YouTube video. Hicks also argued that the military could have blunted the attack by scrambling military aircraft from Italy, and then there's debates about how long that would take, and, you know, the testimony was it would take up to 20 hours to get them to Benghazi, but Hicks said it would take 2 to 3, and he says he's speaking based on what he knew on the ground in Tripoli. So I think that this goes down in history as a split verdict. Either you believe there was a cover-up or you think it's just Republican hype. And I don't think it is. That's why I think some of the Democrats were bailing. You don't see the Democrats just line up, and not all of them did, certainly, but there were a handful of Democrats that ended up behind this and saying that, you know, we need to get to the bottom of it and it doesn't make any sense based on the information that we have. White House spokesperson Jay Carney weighed in on the Benghazi hearing 6 hours, like I said, in the House, in that committee, saying that the attack is a subject that has, its from the beginning, been subject to attempts to politicize it by Republicans. So the Democrats are saying this is Republican nonsense. They're trying to tick this up and play politics with this, and that's what that's about. But, you know, what are the reports from the State Department? The unsculpted truth, what is that? And I think the State Department is most guilty of playing politics. Forget Democrat, Republican, just the State Department, that branch, that important branch of the government itself that left the ambassador stranded. I'm saying that they played politics with this more than anyone, and that's what it boils down to, that the reports weren't accurate whatsoever. And, you know, using the hearings to rail on Hillary Clinton, yeah, I don't really see the purpose on that, because 2016 is down the road, unless they could completely trace her to that, and they couldn't do that. So I can see how you could throw out the politics frisbee out on the playing field, but I don't think so. I think that there was too much misinformation. Let's say that. There was too much misinformation, deflection, and the narrative was completely wrong. It was completely wrong. So it was scrubbed. It goes down in my mind as an embarrassment in how it was handled, and unfortunately ending in a tragic death of four Americans who maybe didn't need to lose their lives. I don't know if they could have gotten there soon enough or not, how quickly they could have scrambled, but perhaps something could have been done. Certainly if the security response had been there, maybe that wouldn't have happened, but it did. And I don't believe that we will see this. I don't think we'll see this come up anymore other than in conversation on talk shows or, you know, in the hallways as here we go again, or in moments where you can point back to it. But I don't think anything comes of it. Let's put it that way. All right. You know how we are here. We're going 100 miles an hour. We all have ADD, don't we? That's the only kind of messages I get from my friends. You know, you got those cell phones. Even in texting, you can tell when someone is kind of schizophrenic with the way they text you. I can't remember what I said because I've said so many things today, and I've been torn in 20,000 directions. I mean, that's how we live in the United States. So on this show, we do have a feature we call Odds and Ends, because so much happens, we can dump it into the Odds and Ends folder. But the big buzz, and that's coming up next, but the big buzz, I think, is still over what happened in Cleveland, Ohio, in that suburb. Amanda Berry gets free. The other girls that were being held captive get free. There's all kinds of things flying around, including the fact that Ariel Castro's brothers, were they involved or weren't they involved? And that was cleared up today, and I have to tell you, I was surprised by what the chief, Ed Tumba, had to say about the brothers. But take a listen.
There is nothing that leads us to believe that they were involved or they had any knowledge of this. Ariel was kept everybody at a distance.
All right, so it was him. And supposedly now it's not just like one giant basement. There were three separate rooms, and he had everything locked up tight and kept as much information, kept all the information from everybody, including the brothers. It certainly seemed as though the brothers were in on this, but it turns out the police say that they had no idea. The three women spent days and nights at 2207 Seymour Avenue. It was just 1,400 square feet. They went out only twice, supposedly, briefly, and they were in these separate rooms. And the idea is he broke them down, and they could only count on their captor, and he would never, ever let them out. And there was a baby born, and, there was all kinds of crazy things that happened because, you know, there was a six-year-old. So here we go in unraveling all of this. And Castro, the key thing for him is, what does he face? You know, what kind of he's got four counts of kidnapping, three counts of rape. And the prosecutor is going to go after this guy big time, especially since in Cleveland, the boys in blue are a little bit humiliated again because of people talking about that they missed more clues. And we've seen this happen before when you had the guy who buried the 11 women and killed them. And, you know, people were calling up and talking about what was going on in that house. And so there were clues and things missed is what a lot of the people in Cleveland are talking about. And I think this prosecutor will go for everything he can, and the House of Horrors case is really what it's been dubbed, and it truly is that. And what a daring escape, and good for Amanda Berry. She's one of the heroes in this, with a six-year-old daughter from this scumbag running out of the house wearing just a diaper and a messed-up shirt. So they're conducting a DNA test to determine the child's paternity, but the good news is they're out of that that hellhole, and they can go on and try to put the pieces back together again. Little O&E on the flip side.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Man, I love that buttstock pouch on your Mosin Nagant. Where'd you get it?
Strike Hard Gear. They have lots of hard-to-find gear for us comm block shooters, like chest rigs and pouches for your SKS Duckbill magazine.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Plus, a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. Enter GCN for a 5% discount on all products at StrikeHardGear.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
In 1965, this was the sound. Commission done. One more time. One more time. One more time. Fantasy. Metal drag. Papa's got a brand new bag.
All right. A little odds and ends. And by the way, if you want to throw in your 2 cents about the Benghazi deal, whether or not it matters, that's what they're saying at the White House. What difference does it make? Some more cover-up accusations against Hillary Clinton, although there's no paperwork to tie her to it. So I say it just goes down as either you believe it was a whitewash or you think that it was Republicans that were just trying to stir up trouble for the Democrats. And I think the families are pretty shook up about some of the new revelations. All right, so that's not part of odds and ends, though. Part of odds and ends is the Daily Salute. You know what? This is the coolest story. I'm so glad I found out about this. Someone in Jersey actually sent me a link to it because it comes out of Newark, New Jersey. But imagine you are on a battlefield. Your job in 1944 with all kinds of artillery flying around your head, basically, you know, we're talking anything that could get thrown at you is getting thrown at you. And your job is to pull dead bodies, Americans' bodies, off of the battlefield. You know, that's what you got to do. You're a quartermaster. You got to identify the dead and you got to bury them. You got to transport them back to the United States, but you got to get them off the field. So when you're running around during the Allied invasion of southern France, you have your dog tags on, and at some point they slip off. Well, certainly you're not digging around trying to find those dog tags. You're too busy with blood everywhere, parts everywhere, trying to find everything you can of the dead soldiers, because you know how important that is to the family. And can you imagine the post-traumatic stress disorder? Willie Wilkins definitely had PTSD, and retired at the age of 44. Did not have the dog tags. He was the guy who was on the field doing that grim job and lost them somehow when he was running around. Well, how about this? They were found 69 years after losing them on the battlefields of southern France. They were... Yeah. I love it. They found the dog tags about 10 years ago in a backyard in France, and now it ended up with a ceremony in Newark City Hall. They called the family, the daughter set it up, and they had a little ceremony for him. This is a guy who had to really deal with some horrible things. He came home to Newark. He worked on an assembly line. He doted on his only child, his daughter. But the service to our country as a quartermaster really had taken a toll on him because of everything that he saw. And so to have those dog tags, I think, really meant something to him. 4,000 miles away. That's what happened. Somebody was tilling the soil around an olive tree, of all things, on a spring day in 2001. They found the dog tag. And instead of just tossing it or whatever, she realized what it was, the names, the numbers, cleaned it, you know, got it, straightened it out, and all that kind of stuff, knew it belonged to a soldier, kept it on a shelf, assuming that the soldier died on the battlefield, and decided that she was going to look a little bit further, figured out that, no, this guy didn't die. Her brother helped her, and ended up getting it, tracing it all the way back to Newark. I think it is so, so cool. It took a little time to do this, because I had to go through the National Archives and Records, but, man, what a tremendous effort. I'm so thrilled that they found them. So thrilled that they found them. And, you know, the Newark mayor, Cory Booker, gave the tags to the Wilkins family, to Willie, and to his daughter Carol, who was there. And I think that's very cool that he has them back. Very, very cool, especially for the kind of service that he gave when it was really, really tough. And so running around, it falls off of his neck, and then that's it. There's no time to go and look for those. Because, I mean, that was like your wallet. That was something you kept so close. That was your ID. There was a reason for those dog tags, and I think it's awesome that... that he got him back. All right, let's move on to something else, because I said a couple of quick odds and ends here. And that includes this story. This is a pretty big story. The Air Force stripped 17 officers. Did you hear about this? 17 officers from launch duty at a nuclear base in North Dakota over what a commander called rot in the force. There's rot in the force. So what does that mean? The Air Force was trying to explain it. They say it's an attitude problem. So Chuck Hagel, the defense secretary, reacted to this pretty swiftly, saying that, you know, I mean, and when have you ever heard this happening? I know some of you are listening to me in North Dakota. When have you ever heard that happening? I can't recall any story or any time, even when I reported on the military extensively, of hearing of that. But they decided that, you know, one of the commanders complained that it was terrible, that he kept saying it was like rot, that there's willful violation of safety rules, compromise maybe of launch codes, are you kidding me, and that we can't, you know, tolerate that. So he took it to the highest levels, and they decided, you know, this is what we're going to have to do. We're just going to have to pull them off of this, because you got Minuteman III missile launch crews in this base, at this Air Force base in North Dakota. And we can't have marginal skills on display here. That can't happen. What if we get into a crisis And this is what we, these are the kind of people that we have with the launch codes. I don't think so. We have to perform to our top level, so we got to get better people in there. You know, it's, the thing is what they're saying is the sense among the people that work on this base is that nuclear mission, hey, is a dying field because we're reducing the size of our arsenal again and again and again, and there are only a limited number of command spots where the missile launch officers can move up further in the nuclear force. So they think that part of this whole idea of the rot is they feel as though they have nowhere to go in their careers anymore because it's not an area that we're developing. Let's face it, it's an area that we're shrinking. So officially they're saying under the 17 were underperformers, and that's the reason that they were relieved of those duties, because launch crew members pretty much are junior officers, lieutenants and captains with limited service experience, and they tried to ride herd over them, but they said it wasn't working, so they have decided to clear the decks, removing the 17. Wow. So now they say they're going to be bench warmers for at least 60 days. I think that they won't have rot after that. Ooh, 60 days. You're on the bench, brother. That's it. You're not doing any of the things you did before, so you're complaining that you had no place to go. You might face possible disciplinary action. At least one officer will have that because he intentionally broke a safety rule, and they're going to see if there's going to be more that would fall into that category. Wow, the military is really shaking things up, aren't they? You think the other day, which was the craziest story with the allegations of sexual misconduct, and now they're really eyeballing that, and the president said something about it, Chuck Hagel said something about it, and then you have this thing with, we're not really into this whole nuclear thing because we know there's no place for us to go deal. And some of those people may face, like I said, some disciplinary action on top of that. Wow, absolutely crazy. Have you ever wanted to go to Mars? Well, you're not alone. 80,000 people have applied for a one-way mission to the so-called Red Planet. Yep, you have a rigorous application that stresses the need for not rot, but the can-do attitude. They ask about the sense of humor. They require the submission of an application fee that can be as much as $75. Mars One, the Dutch company behind the proposed mission, said they've gotten applications from more than 120 countries. And the role of the Mars Explorer is guinea pig, let's face it. It's the most desired job in history. 17,000 of the applicants are from the U.S. 17,000. Wow. Mars One. I don't know that I would want to apply for that job. How about you? In one way, it sounds intriguing. In another way, it sounds kind of scary to me. Guinea pig. That's what you are. Guinea pig in the can. Going all the way up to Mars. Godspeed.
Prepared against possible food shortages and economic collapse is not complicated. Just remember two words, disaster, stuff. Add.com after those two words and you've got just one site for all your preparedness needs. DisasterStuff.com prepares your family against food shortages with Linden Farms freeze-dried foods in buckets or Gourmet Reserves freeze-dried food in number 10 cans, both with free shipping. Purify and rid your water of contaminants with a Big Berkey or other Berkey system and get free shipping plus a water level spigot or fluoride filter at cost, and protect your radios and other electronics from EMPs with our EMP Faraday bags starting at just $5.90. When the food shortages and economic instability happens, be ready with all your stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Just remember two words, DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.